Good afternoon, everyone. Let the record indicate it is 5:09, and the Warwick City Council Finance Committee is called to order. If you could all be sure that your cell phones are either off or on vibrate, please. Thank you. Need a motion for acceptance of the meeting of February 3rd?
Favorable
action. Seconded.
We have a motion for favorable. We have a second. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
First item, PCR 22-20, found on page 1. Oh, okay. Excuse me. So we need to revisit the acceptance of the minutes. Move to withdraw the previous motion.
Seconded.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. I need a motion for acceptance of the minutes from the meeting on February 3rd.
I move favorable action.
I'll second it.
Abstain.
We have a motion and a second, one abstention. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Two yes, one abstain. You're welcome. Okay, moving on to PCR 22-20, found on page 1. Workstations, laptops, tablets, printers. Just identify yourself for the record. I checked the mic. I'm not sure if it's on.
My name is Dottie McCarthy, and I'm from the Board of Canvases, a director.
Go ahead, Dottie.
We received a grant from the Secretary of State's office for cybersecurity. Anything to enhance the elections as far as cybersecurity goes. This came from the federal government, first of all, and we were awarded $8,800. We could spend up to $8,800 for cybersecurity. We got quotes from different vendors, the lowest vendor being the Wally Computer Associates, for $8,506.21. I did review this with the grantor, the Secretary of State's office, and it was all approved. We already received the check. The check has been already deposited into the MIS account. They do have the buying power, obviously, so Phil was nice enough to say that he would purchase this for us.
Okay, thank you, Dottie. Good job on that. I did have a question regarding the use of the grant, because grants are very specific. The language is very specific as to what the monies can be used for. And in here, it states that the money had been chosen, or the Board of Canvas had chosen to use the money for new computer system, printers, and scanners. So, in the utmost of caution, I reached out to Phil earlier today about that. And Phil, if you could just come to the mic, I would just like you to put on the record the procedure that followed to certify that, in fact, this does meet those qualifications and how you went about getting that.
All right, Phil Carlucci, MIS Director. I had reviewed this with Dorothy earlier on, and then we ran through the requirements of the grant. We matched it up with what we were going to have. We then submitted that through her channels, and it was approved. They looked it over. It was not something that we just put in an amount. We had all the items detailed and how they related to improving the environment that would allow for a more cyber secure voting group to be able to process the
right
stuff.
Okay. So they received everything ahead of time. They knew exactly what it was that we were going to purchase. They approved it. They cut you the check. You've already got it. Good. Very good. Just wanted that to be on the record. Any questions from members of the committee? Any questions from members of the council? Any questions from members of the public? Sir. State your name for the record, please.
Roy Dempsey, Ward 1. I thought the grant was regarding cybersecurity. I mean, isn't that like the Russians are coming? Everything's Russian. And all of a sudden that they're allowing us to buy a printer? I don't get that. I mean, where is the approval for a printer purchase?
Okay.
Where is it coming from regarding, and what? How does it regard cybersecurity? That's my question. Thank you.
Okay, I'll let Phil speak to that again. I think he's answered that, but I'll have him reiterate it.
Phil Carlucci, MIS Director. The cybersecurity threats to the voting has been in the news quite a bit, was specifically aimed toward making sure your computing environment offered up the highest level security possible. Operating systems, old hardware are all susceptible to attacks, and that's really what the grant was for. Had there been more money, you could actually get into some software solutions, but they become so expensive, it was past what the grant is. And as far as the approval, it was at the federal level. The person administering, it's not really our money, it was theirs. The person administering the grant was the one who looked over the equipment and said that it was fine.
Oh, excuse me. Oh, if you want to speak, come to the mic, please.
No, the gentleman mentioned that the administrator handled the approval. My question is, was this the federal administrator that handled the approval?
I just spoke with that. It was actually a state administrator of the federal grant that had looked over and approved it.
Okay. Thank you. And also, Phil, I know there's rationale about, or I should say, there was procedures that you had implemented with going to Massachusetts, and expanding on the MPA, et cetera, and touching on that because there are several vendors here, more than what our protocol has been approving in the past. So just give us, the reasoning for that as well.
Well, because there was a process, as in the other purchases that we've made, there was a process to get this approved for the grant. We knew that the technology, the specific technology that we were going after, could change once, twice, three times in the time period it took. So we always try to keep this open, and we go to the three vendors. So we do a quasi mini bid. We go to the three or four or five, up to five vendors. We ask for a price quote on that particular technology, make sure it's as current as possible for those particular items. Once those items are quoted, we take the total package, lowest bid for the total package, and that's who we award it to. And we keep record of all the different quotes that we receive so we can go back and check.
Okay, thank you. Any other questions from members of the public? Do we have any other questions from members of the public? Hearing none, I need a motion.
Move for favorable action.
Seconded.
We have a motion for favorable. We have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you. Item 2, 2020-266, grass seed mixtures, found on page 30.
James Scott, Parks and Recreation.
Go ahead, James.
We reviewed the one bid submitted for grass seed mixtures and recommend awarding the bid to Site One Landscape and Supply as the lowest qualified bidder. Current contract expires on June 21st of 2020. The new contract will begin on June 22nd and expire in June of 2021. The cap we're asking for will be $2,500.
Any questions from members of the committee? Do we have any questions from members of the committee? Any questions from members of the council? Do we have any questions from members of the public? Any questions from members of the public? Hearing none, I need a motion.
Move for favorable action.
Seconded.
We have a motion favorable. We have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you. Item 3, 2020-267, bacteriological testing for beaches. Whoa.
It's a mouthful. We have reviewed the two bids received for the above contract and recommend awarding the bid to RI Analytical Laboratory as the lowest qualified bidder. The current bid expires May 31st. The new contract will run from June 1st until May 31st of 2021. The cap on this bid will be $2,500.
So I'm going to just ask you to give us a quick little explanation of, and I'm just going to call it testing, because that's worse than asset forfeiture, that biotechnological whatever you got there. It's a pretty good tongue twister. Just give us a brief scenario of what this exactly is for.
So in its simplest form, it's the service we use to test the water at the beaches in the summer. One of the things I did when I first came on is I reached out to the state, and we coordinate testing with them. So before you had sort of redundancy in testing, and now we coordinate who tests when, so we use it better. But when you have those beach closures, it's a result of either one of these tests done by the city or a test done by the state. But actually last year, I believe we only had one beach closure all summer, so the water quality was better last year than some of the previous years.
Good. I noticed that there are other bidders on here. Had you reached out to any of the other vendors to ask why they did not bid?
I did not. I did add a couple vendors to the list, so there's more than before, but I did not reach out to those vendors.
Okay. Any questions from members of the committee? Any questions from members of the council? Do we have any questions from members of the public? Any questions from members of the public? Hearing none, I need a motion.
Move for favorable action. Seconded.
We have a motion favorable. We have a second. All in favor? Aye. Thank you. Thank you, James. Also, James, too, before we move on to the next issue, I just want to say that we appreciate you coming to us as early as you have been, particularly these two items right here. You're actually a couple, 2-3 months ahead of time, and we appreciate your willingness to work with us to stay ahead of these things. We appreciate that.
Thank you, Chairman.
Item 2268, found on page 36. Go ahead, James.
We have reviewed. This is for fertilizer, liquid weed control, and lime. The last year was the first time, I believe, in several years that the fields were fertilized in Warwick, which is, you know, obviously vital to their functioning and attractiveness to for rentals. We have reviewed the one bid received and for the above and recommend awarding to Site One Landscape and Supply, the lowest bidder. The previous bid expired on August 26, 2019. The new contract will end 1 year from the date of award. The cap will be $13,000, and it'll be paid out of the maintenance materials line item.
Any questions from members of the committee? Councilman McAllister.
Thank you. Director, this bid expired in August. Can you just go over the time frame for us on that, why it's coming to us now?
So the bid had previously come before the council at a mid-September meeting. At that time, Site One was the lowest qualified bidder. The Finance Committee elected not to award the bid at that time, asked they got to rebid. At that juncture in the year, we'd just gotten back on the fertilizer program that, you know, hadn't happened for at least a year or two before. And we needed to get the fall fertilizer at that time. So we went out through a 3-3 for the fall fertilizer, which was critical to maintaining what we'd already invested. And I waited, I did a little more research, I added a couple vendors to the list, and we went out to bid again, and Site One was the only bidder.
Thank you, and they're a qualified bidder.
They're the lowest qualified bidder, Councilman. Bidder.
Thank you.
Thank you, Councilman. Any further questions from the committee? Any questions from members of the council? Any questions from members of the public? Do we have any questions from members of the public? Hearing none, I need a motion.
Move favorable. Seconded.
We have a motion favorable. We have a second. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Next item, item 5, 2020-279, Fire Department Class B uniforms, found on page 41. Chief?
Good evening. Jason Umbenhauer, Assistant Chief of the Fire Department. Bid for Fire Department Class B uniforms has been carefully reviewed by the Fire Department. Two vendors submitted bids, and after evaluating pricing, the following vendor has met all the specifications and have proposed the lowest price. Therefore, I recommend the bid be awarded to Donnelly's Incorporated of Rhode Island of Cranston, Rhode Island. Donnelly's has been a vendor for our Class B uniforms for the past 2 years. The department has been extremely happy with the services they provide. Donnelly's is also a very convenient, located just over the Warwick border in Cranston, and therefore is easily accessible to any services we require. These bid items are for purchase of station uniforms that the department is required to provide to both new firefighters and newly promoted chief officers in accordance with the collective bargaining agreement. Items will be purchased as required by the CBA, with funding coming from budget code 35260, which is uniforms. Current bid expires on 4-6 of 20, If approved, the new bid will have an effective date of 4-7-20 through 4-6-2022, a total amount not to exceed $15,000.
Thank you, Chief. Any questions from members of the committee? Any questions from members of the council? Any questions from members of the public? Do we have any questions from members of the public? Chief, what's the average cost per uniform?
So a set of uniforms for a chief officer is 100 and, I got it here, sorry. Is $184.30. A new set of uniforms for a new firefighter is $234.65. That's because those are Nomex fire resistant and the chief officers don't get
those. What, please?
They're Nomex. They're made of Nomex, so they're fire resistant.
I see.
That by the collective bargaining agreement. The ones okay. that we get, like the one I'm wearing, we don't go for Nomex. We just get the regular polyester blend.
Chief, in your position paper, you state that the items are for the purchase of station uniforms. Is there a difference between a station uniform and uniform that firefighters would use, say, at public events or ceremonies? So how many different uniforms do we have for a firefighter?
So there's two. The Class B uniform, which is this, is the station uniform, similar to the one I'm wearing right now. The ones they wear day-to-day in the stations. The Class A uniform, which is the dress uniform. They have one set of that, which they buy on their own or when they're promoted. That's what they wear to events and to ceremonies.
So the firefighter pays for that particular uniform, the taxpayers pay for the one set of uniform, or one uniform. Is that what you said?
When somebody's hired on the job, they're responsible for their own Class A uniforms. Once we promote them, we call that a change in uniform. Then the city picks up the cost to alter that uniform to the new rank. So sometimes it's just adding buttons or striping or things like that.
Okay, so you've been reading my mind here, because that was my next question. So these uniforms, when the firefighters get promoted up through the ranks, it from time to time would require a change in emblems or some sort of identifications, et cetera. It doesn't mean that it constitutes buying a whole brand new uniform, right?
Correct. In the Class B uniforms, it's only chief officers who the city buys new Class B uniforms for, because they go from the blue and navy to the white and dark navy. It's just a color change when the chief officer. So it's only like 12 people in the department, 12 positions in the department that get bought these uniforms.
And in that account, the 35,260, what did you spend during the previous 2-year contract period?
So within this contract period for Class B uniforms?
The one that's expiring, yes.
Okay, so in fiscal year 20, we spent $175. I have it broken down. I don't have the total, unfortunately. $175.40 on promotional uniforms and $95 replacing uniforms. We also are required to replace damaged uniforms. In fiscal year 19, we spent $2,079.60.
So you've spent somewhere around $2,500?
Correct.
And was your bid back then $15,000 as well?
Correct. The majority of this price is for new recruits. So when a new class comes on, we have to buy two sets of uniforms for each of them at $280-some dollars a piece, a set. So it costs a typical class of 12 recruits. It costs us about between $5,500 and $6,000 in uniforms for them when they come on. So we have enough. We want enough spending authority over the next 2 years that if we get a class of 12, say, in this next fiscal year, and a class of 12 in the next fiscal year, we have enough cap in spending authority in order to buy those uniforms without having to come back to you to add it on. So it's a projection.
So in the expenditures that you just indicated to us, roughly $2,500 is running quick numbers. Is that $2,500, was that paying for the modifications to the uniforms for the 60-some promotions that have had over the last 2 years?
Nope, this is just Class B uniforms. Class A uniforms is a different bid. That's not what we're talking about now. That's the dress uniform. That's a different bid and a different...
But those firefighters that got promoted, that means there would have been changes in their uniforms, right?
Correct.
So how was that paid for?
The change in their uniform are paid for by out of this same budget.
Okay, so it was out of that $2,500.
Not out of that $2,500. The $2,500 is just for Class B uniforms that we're talking about. I thought we were just talking about Class B uniforms,
okay.
What we're here for,
okay,
tonight.
So those changes for those, or modifications to the uniforms for the 60 firefighters that got promoted, that was paid for out of another budget code?
Nope, same budget. Same budget code.
Different description.
Correct. Different bid. That's another vendor also. Stillman Uniform has that bid.
And what you're looking for now is strictly for the Class B uniform?
Strictly the Class B uniform.
And for these Class B uniforms, how many uniforms are you anticipating over the contract period?
For promoted chief officers, maybe three in each fiscal year. So I anticipate maybe one set the rest of this fiscal year. Maybe two sets. We're anticipating two retirements that may make chief officer promotions. And on average, about three chief officer promotions happen every fiscal year. So I estimated two for this year and then three in the next two fiscal years. This is a two-year contract.
And why are you basing your bid on the need for 15,000?
Because if we put a new class of 12 firefighters on in this next fiscal year, it's going to cost us $5,631 to buy them their first set of uniforms. So we're anticipating a class of potentially 12 this fiscal year, or this coming fiscal year, in fiscal year 21. And then because this runs into fiscal year 22, if another class of 12 comes on, if we project another class of 12 coming on, which would put us near full staffing, that would put us at $5,800.
Okay.
So that's about $6,000, $6,500 each of those two fiscal years, and about $1,000 this fiscal year. So that's where we came up with the $15,000 projection.
Okay. Before I move for a vote, too, I just was remiss in letting you all know that we do have all the numbers, and there is adequate monies in all the accounts. If anyone wishes to see it, it's right here. Okay, so I need a motion on 2020-279.
Move favorable action. Seconded.
We have a motion for favorable. We have a second. All in favor? Aye. Next item, item 6, 2020-286, Marine 4 water jet propulsion pots. Chief, you're making it difficult
getting
tonight.
You in the day.
Go ahead.
Fire department is seeking a 56-6 exception to bid for Marine 4 water jet propulsion parts. Department's recommended Marine Jet Power Incorporated out of Blacklick, Ohio, be granted the award. During the disassembly phase for our annual maintenance, it was noticed that there was some physical damage to the water jet assembly and some corrosion. We went out to look for estimations on parts to replace those damaged and corroded parts while it's out of the water for maintenance. The sole source vendor in our area is Detroit Diesel out of Wakefield, Rhode Island. In conversations with them, our Marine Services Coordinator did notice that we could go direct to the manufacturer. The only savings would be the $75 shipping. The price was exactly the same, but we could save ourselves some shipping and get it faster. And that would be Marine Jet Power, which is the original manufacturer. This is entirely funded 100% through reimbursement through the 2019 Oil Spill Prevention Administration and Response Grant, a copy of which I provided to you. The fire department is requesting a spending authority to purchase the parts necessary to complete the repair. It be paid through account 38814, which is the REMA pass-through grants. If granted, the award will be for a one-time purchase of the parts corresponding to the invoice. Total award, $8,540.66.
Any questions from members of the committee? Any questions from members of the council?
Yes.
Go ahead, Council President.
How many boats does the fire department have?
Currently, we have 3 Marine units and
4 Marine units?
Four Marine units and how many inflatables? 4 inflatables, that's what he was looking for. 3 full-time Marine units and 4 inflatable boats for the ponds and for the shoreline stuff.
4 inflatables?
4 inflatables, yeah.
And what size are the Marine units?
I'm going to defer. I am definitely not a Marine expert, so I'm going to defer to our Lieutenant Vail, who's our Marine Response Coordinator.
I'm familiar with Marines.
Good evening. Justin Vail, Lieutenant here on the Fire Department in the city. We have a 36-foot metal craft twin water jet diesel-powered fireboat. That's our main fireboat. That's the one that stays in the water year-round, with the exception of coming out. We have a 27-foot Boston Whaler Challenger, which is a twin outboard Mercury fiberglass hull vessel. And we have a 20-foot Carolina skiff center console with a single Yamaha 115, which is kept in the water part-time through June through October.
And you said that you have 4 Marine, and I had the 36, the 27, and the 20.
And then we have we have 4 other inflatable.
So you only have 4 Marine units, or 3 Marine units?
We have 3 Marine units that are kept in the bay, yes.
And then how big are the inflatable boats?
They range from 10 to 12 feet.
Now, the 36-foot, is that the one that needs the repairs?
That is correct.
And that stays in the water all the time?
Yes, it does.
So, knowing what salt water does to jet boats.
Correct.
Just out of curiosity, why do we have a jet boat in the water when those are basically supposed to be pulled out of the water almost every single time you use it, lifted and flushed?
Yep. The Marine Four is our Port of Providence Marine Strike Team vessel. This was funded by UASI grant back in 2007, I believe. So as part of that grant, when we were awarded the funds, that is not only a city response vessel, but that is also a regional response vessel. It is a water jet system that is designed for full-time use and keeping it in a saltwater environment. So I do understand, with some, such as a jet ski,
yeah,
you know, a jet ski style, that is not designed to be kept in the water year-round. It doesn't have the proper antifouling paint on it. Doesn't have the proper corrosion protection on it. This particular boat has that corrosion protection on it.
Yeah, I mean, after I've saw the pictures in your packet, and I get what the corrosion does to the intakes, but you know, on a regular prop vessel, you're not going to see that with zincs and everything else. You're not going to see that type of degradation in the system.
Correct.
So why not use, you know, a boat that, if you're at 36 feet, that has inboards, diesels or something? That, I mean, is this jet boat diesel?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. But why not use a regular boat that has props instead of jets?
Well, we do. We Marine Four is kept. We try to maintain a minimum of 2 vessels within the bay year round. We keep our Marine Two, which is up at Pettus Marina on the north end of the city. We keep Marine 4 in Warwick Cove, which is designed to respond in Greenwich Bay, south end of the city. When we can't keep a second boat in the water, we tend to keep that one boat that needs to be in the water, Marine 4, which is the bigger of the boats. It's designed for the environment, in the cold water environments. It's a heated cab. It's got space for up to, inside the cab comfortably, up to 6 personnel, but can still take on other people if we need to go out to get them off of a vessel for some reason. Our Marine 2, being a 27-footer, has a bigger work deck platform, but not as much pilot house capacity. So when it's a question of which boat out of the two we're going to keep in the water, we're going to keep the bigger, more dependable vessel that's got better range, better ability to handle the seas, better ability to handle patients, and so forth if we need them to.
I'm just wondering, as far as the jet boat goes, I think we're going to have a lot more problems in the future with a jet boat than we are with a prop boat. And I was just wondering what the decision was as far as using a jet boat instead of a prop boat when we ordered the 36.
Can you just repeat that question?
Sure. You had a, I would assume you had a choice as to what type of vessel you get at 36 feet, and we're obviously in a saltwater environment. Why did we get
Correct.
Jet instead of prop?
So Marine Four is the result of, and this is long before my time, of being in the position I'm in, where I'm kind of running this part of the division. That was a consortium of multiple agencies that got together when the grant was given. When the grant was given, it was to buy four identical vessels that were post 9/11 designed to protect the waters around and leading into the Port of Providence. When these cities got together to discuss the bid package as to what they wanted for specifications on the boat, this is what they came up with. I can't speak for the previous hands that had a part in designing that boat at the time, but this is what we've had since 2009. This is what was awarded to us with those grant funds. So in an ideal world,
when we
look at that now, would we consider something else? Absolutely. Most definitely would we consider other options.
Yep.
But at the time that this was done, this is what they felt was best for.
Now, out of all those boats that you have, which one can... There's one of them that I recall can actually put out a fire, or can the 27-foot pump water too?
Marine 4 is the one that does the pumping. It pumps up to...
That's the 36, the
correct.
Jet boat.
Yep.
Okay. None of the others can pump water.
That is correct.
Okay. And how many police boats do we have?
I am not sure of how many police boats we have, sir.
Would the officer major know?
We have one larger boat and one inflatable.
You have one larger? Do you
yeah.
know the size of it?
I do not.
Okay. And one inflatable. And how many boats do we have for the harbor master?
I have no idea, sir.
I think that's either two or three. So the only reason I bring this up, Chair, is that we're looking at 14 boats. Some of them are inflatables, and so, you know, we're in a time where I think that, you know, I think the 36-footer that can pump water is key, but I'm just wondering if there can't be more of a coordination and services, especially if there's an emergency. I'm assuming that the police are going to respond. If it's a water emergency, I'm assuming the police are going to respond, fire is going to respond, and if the harbor master's on, he's going to respond. But it just seems like 14 boats, you know, for the amount of coastline we have is a lot. I recognize the inflatables don't take much maintenance. By the way, what stations have the inflatables?
So Station 10 in Pottawamat has an inflatable. Station 1 has an inflatable. Station 4, Bayside, has an inflatable. And Station 2 has an inflatable. And those are mainly used. Those are not so much bay boats. Those are your freshwater ponds, your quick. Those are trailered boats that hook on the back of an engine or a rescue mm-hmm. to get taken as a support, you know, a support piece. But mainly they are used for freshwater response only. I do see what you're saying with so many boats being out there.
Yeah.
We've come to find that over the years since they've developed the Narragansett Bay Marine Task Force, this is a state mutual aid plan that ensures that multiple assets are responding to any type of emergency that's out on the waterways. We have worked hand-in-hand with police here in the city. We have worked hand-in-hand with the harbor master here in the city. You have a lot of area to cover out there. So sometimes when you start talking about numbers of boats, for an individual run, for whatever the type of run may be, every one of those assets is being used for something. Marine 4 being our main boat for firefighting capabilities, still also acts as our main dive platform for our dive team, still acts as our main search platform for underwater side scan sonar, which is designed to locate structures, bodies, sunken vessels, so on. So it's not just about firefighting for this boat. This is a work platform for a lot of different things that the fire department here in the city does, and the City of Warwick Police Department as well with their dive team. If they need to become, if they needed a platform that was suitable to work on, that would suffice for what they need to do as well.
So. Now, do we get reimbursed for runs that we make outside of Warwick on the 36-foot?
So we don't get reimbursed for runs, but the funding that we're talking about, where these funds are requested for these parts is coming from, is an oil spill prevention and response fund that's maintained by State of Rhode Island DEM. That fund is a tax that's placed on every barrel of oil that comes into the Port of Providence. Those funds are what are used to support this marine vessel itself, not necessarily Marine 2 or Marine 6 or any of our other vessels with the exception of equipment, but main maintenance costs, sustainment costs, training, backfilling, major pieces of equipment such as electronics. That fund is designed to fund these issues that we have as they come along, to keep it in an in-service status for response, around the region and within the town, the city.
So, and what are the communities around us that have the other ones that were purchased?
The City of Cranston, City of Providence, and the City of East Providence.
Okay. I've seen our boat down before, down in Newport.
Correct.
So it can get called anywhere.
Absolutely.
And once that happens, our main dive platform and source of putting out a fire are out.
Correct.
So yes. It just seems like that's the more valuable out of all the boats. And, if I was going to concentrate resources, I'd concentrate them on boats like that. And maybe, if we have a police boat that's, I think our police boat's over 30 feet too. Just seems like that could function in more than one capacity, because as we pointed out, 14 boats in this area. I don't know if we need that many. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Councilman Howe.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Lieutenant.
Yes, sir.
Just a quick question. Would you consider then the boat is called Marine 4, is the jet propulsion. Is that your ready force boat, if you will, the one that's always ready in the water?
Yes.
So that's the one that's equipment ready. If you guys get the call, there's a reason why it's in the water.
Correct.
And you got this boat through a grant, you
Correct.
Said?
Correct.
Okay, so it cost the taxpayers of the city no money. The second thing is I understand what you said. Now, you mentioned something that kind of piqued my interest, because I thought the council president brought up a good point about the jet propulsion, but what did you say? Can you clarify your comments on this jet propulsion is made for the salt water?
Yeah, if you look at, I'm going to use the Block Island Ferry, mm-hmm. as the fast ferry as an example. That is a water jet propelled vessel. There are vessels, work vessels, we'll use the terminology work vessels, that are designed with jet systems in them from saltwater environments. And the reason they're designed with a jet system is the ability of maneuvering with this type of vessel over a regular prop-driven boat. Mm-hmm. When you have a prop-driven boat, you're held by your forward and your reverse propulsional thrust and the steering that you can have along with that. With a jet boat, you're able to do more with that than you are with a prop-driven boat. You're able to walk it sideways. Each way, you're able to turn it on a dime without moving forward or backwards. You're allowed to come to an abrupt stop quickly, all while leaving it pretty much basically in drive. Mm-hmm. The way it works is, if anybody's ever ridden on a jet ski before, is you have a jet nozzle in the back, propels the water out at a high pressure. You have a bucket that's designed to be operated by the person that's operating the vessel, which will direct the thrust in the direction you want it to go, giving you the desired effect of the maneuvering of the boat that you want. That's what makes this vessel kind of special in its own way as compared to the other vessels that we have. We can get into close quarters maneuvering situations at docks with other vessels to be able to bring ourselves alongside another vessel very safely and to be able to effect a rescue if we need to. So when I say jet, that's the benefits of a jet, but yes, these particular jets that are on this type of vessel are designed for saltwater environment. Right. They are designed with epoxy barrier coating that protects the aluminum from the salt. They are designed to have zincs, which prevent the electrolysis, which is very prevalent in Warwick Cove. We have a lot of older marinas coming up to code now, but a lot of electricity leakage in the water will quickly chew apart metal components. And as you'll see in my packet, one of the items I'm requesting, there's actually supposed to be a zinc stud off the bottom of that with a threaded stud. That threaded stud is gone completely. And you can see, and I don't know when that happened, at what time that happened while it was in the water, but you can just see the damage that in the picture, if it's clear enough, that's been, you know, that's happened since that has gone off, that has, that's designed to protect it from those types of things. So those are the components that make a water jet system more protected in a saltwater environment than like your jet skis, where people are just kind of buzzing around, load them back on a trailer. Those types of systems do not have the same protection components that this type of system does.
Thank you. So you got this boat in 2007 through a grant, correct?
I believe it was 2007, yes. It was a UASI grant. It was part of an urban initiative for spills, oil spills and all that stuff.
Yes.
So it was part of that, and that was the boat came in through that grant. It went out to get refit with engines because of the issues that the engines had a few years after. It's been back in service since 2015, I believe, with the components that it has in it now. So a lot of the stuff that I'm requesting here is not your normal. This isn't your norm. This is kind of not an expected thing. These parts that are being replaced now are the result of us pulling it out of the water yearly to do maintenance on it and finding damage. It's not anything that was caused by lack of maintenance. It was not anything that was caused by somebody striking anything. This is all internal stuff that took place and that we're trying to repair now. So,
and that's what I'm trying to get clarification on is exactly what you said. So this is a boat that's on active duty. This is a boat that is ready 24 hours a day, 365 days a year.
Correct.
This is a boat that has been in service since 2007, has correct, had maintenance, and this is a boat that can do a lot of different things for the fire as well as in support of going with that. And also the repairs that are on this boat are coming from a grant, you clarified.
They are coming from the oil spill and prevention funds that we that we are granted by REMA, Rhode Island Emergency Management Association Agency, through DEM, Rhode Island,
right.
DEM. So DEM is the purse, REMA is the manager of it, and we're the recipients of it, the sub-recipients of it.
That's a great explanation. Thank you. And I have a question following up with what the council president said. He mentioned that the police have a boat and the fire have a boat. Are the equipment on each boat the same?
They are not. They are
so
not.
The fire is specifically for, if you wouldn't mind, please. I'm sorry to put you on the spot, Lieutenant.
Yeah. So
give me an example of where a fire boat would be used.
We have some light medical equipment on the vessel for medical emergencies. When we do respond to medical emergencies, the engine crew is taking their medical equipment with them. But we have medical equipment on there. We have breathing apparatus on the boats. Again, we have side scan sonar on the boat, which is designed for more of a searching capability on the ground of the seafloor. The firefighting capability is an obvious one. The foam, we carry 50 gallons of foam on this vessel, which is designed for your fiberglass vessel, more or less your fiberglass vessel fires and your oil spill type fires as a result of a fire on a vessel. But the equipment is not the same in any stretches to what we're trying to do versus what police is trying to do.
So the police are more of the law enforcement, which is the exact same thing on the water. You guys are more of their rescue and save as well, but you guys are more of the immediate response, rescue, save, where theirs is law enforcement rescue.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
Excellent.
When it comes to safety equipment, I'm sure both boats have identical stuff, but when it comes to catering towards the type of incident that we're responding to, it's different across
right.
the board.
But the primary purpose being is if there was a share boat issue, that could mix up the works.
Yes.
Because the issue would then become you have police using a fire, and then if a severe fire-related incident happens, you don't have a boat ready to go and respond to that.
Correct.
So it's best that both departments?
Correct.
Thank you, Lieutenant. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you.
Mr. Chair, can I follow up?
Sir.
Yes. So my point was, and I think you pointed it out that I really didn't get into, is we've had problems with that boat, and the issue with a jet boat compared to a prop boat, I know you talked about maneuverability, but when you have a twin screw, and here you have a twin engine, you can turn on a dime with a prop boat. You can also put in bow thrusters or stern thrusters and go side to side, and you don't have the type of problems that we've been experiencing. And so when we're considering new boats?
Absolutely.
That's the other thing is you don't get that type of corrosion, and you mentioned putting zincs in the water and pulling it. That is definitely one of the problems that you're seeing in those tubes and in the pictures that I see. And the maintenance on those boats, especially when they're not run like a Block Island ferry, is a lot different than sitting in a cove where there's a lot of electricity in the cove that's causing damage to the boat. And the last point is, I like what your boat does. I also like what the larger police department boat does. But we have a lot of smaller boats that I was talking about, and in particular, the Boston Whaler that you folks have, and what the police have, and what the Harbor Master has. That's a lot of boats to handle the other functions. I absolutely agree with Councilman Howe that the main boat you can't replace. That's something that you need to run. But on some of the smaller boats, I think there could be a joint effort there, especially if it's in-water pond rescue where you need a small inflatable. As I recall, I remember most of the time you guys are going in on somebody falling through the ice,
exactly.
And you're wearing those suits.
Yeah.
And you're not using the boats except, you know, I don't even know if you use the boats. I think you've been putting them on sleds and pulling them out, I think. But anyway.
Yeah.
I mean, if somebody fell through the ice. But in any event, that was my whole point, not to, you know, I'm just saying that I definitely need that type of boat. I just don't like the propulsion system.
Understandable.
Because it's caused you guys a nightmare.
Thank you. There's times I lose sleep over it too, sir.
Lieutenant,
yes, sir.
So what is your maintenance policy for particularly Marine Four that's in the water 24/7, 365?
So we make every attempt to pull the boat out yearly to have the painting done, zincs replaced on it. We tend to get, at a maximum, we tend to get about a year and a half worth of time where the paint starts to get to the point where it needs to be done, where the zincs need to be done. All the maintenance that is done on it is done here in-house, with the exception of any major items. For instance, the last repair that was done on this boat was a transmission and a drive line issue. That was sent out. That's a more of a technical repair that requires being covered by warranty. All these items are all bolt-on items that come off every time the boat is cleaned. So every time the boat is pulled out of the water, power washed, prepped for painting, all these items are disassembled and reassembled to be after the painting's been completed and all the cleaning has been completed on them. So for the most part, our policy is doing light maintenance type stuff, is cleaning, painting, oil changes, things of that nature.
Thank you. Any other questions from members of the public? Are there any questions from members of the public? I'm sorry, members of the council. Yes, Councilwoman Travis.
Lieutenant, now Marine Four is stationed at War Cove, you said?
That is correct.
Okay, how many times that boat goes out for, a run or to check it out? I know you do how many, and you do them during the summer a lot, but I mean, how many times does it really go out for?
In 2019, that boat went out, was dispatched to a total of 62 runs. That's a mix of here in the city and mutual aid. A majority of that is here in the city. 2018, I don't have the numbers for that, but I had just actually gotten all these numbers together for a report. But yeah.
And sometimes you just go out to run it and check it out and see how many times you do that?
We do a lot of training on it. Guys, generally a shift goes out once during the warmer months. A shift will go out once a shift to run the boat up to make sure everything checks out okay. It's all part of the daily checks that go along with the vessels themselves. In the winter, not so much, but we do still train as long as conditions permit when the cove isn't frozen over. This would have been an ideal winter to train had it been in the water, but we put in roughly 100 to 200 hours at least worth of training every year with all the different shifts that are on duty. And that's not just one particular truck. That's not the one truck that covers that. That's a mix from everybody around the city.
And how many usually go on it? I know it's a training, so you have multiple people on that boat, right?
We make the minimum that boat can run and leave the dock with is three personnel.
Okay.
On runs, we dispatch a second truck so that there's five personnel on that boat. Just because of when you do end up at an incident, the manpower gets used up very quickly. You have one operator of the vessel, you have a navigator of the vessel, and you have the officer that's in charge of the vessel. It doesn't leave a whole lot of hands. So when we do go out on runs, we run with a minimum of five guys on that boat at any time. We try to do the same when it comes to training, but minimum personnel for that boat to leave the dock is three. Correct.
Thank you.
Thank you, Councilwoman. Lieutenant, how many hours on that vessel?
There's 530 hours on the vessel now.
That's the 2007 has 530
hours?
Not,
that is not as of 2007. That's as of 2015 when the repower was done. I do not have a number of how many hours were on the engines before that.
Okay. Okay, any other questions from members of the council? Any questions from members of the public? Do we have any questions from members of the public? Hearing none, I need a motion.
Seconded.
We have a motion for favorable. We have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you. Thank you, Lieutenant. Thank you, Chief.
Thank you.
Item 7, 2020-287, SMS Magnet Axum Software, found on page 64. Major, go ahead.
Lori Michaelides on behalf of the Police Department. The Police Department is seeking an exception to bid and authorization to purchase two SMS Magnet Axiom software licenses currently utilized by the Computer Forensic Unit within the PD. This product is widely used by law enforcement agencies across the country. This program has the capability to examine both computer and cell phone images and data and create reports, which can then be reviewed by investigators and are court defensible. Each license costs $2,000 per year. We are seeking two licenses for a total of $4,000. If approved, the funding not to exceed $4,000 would be from budget code 30-340, service contracts. If awarded, the one-year contract would run from May 1st, 2020 through April 30th, 2021.
Thank you, Major. Any questions from members of the committee? Any questions from members of the council? Any questions from members of the public? Do we have any questions from members of the public? Hearing none, I need a motion.
Move for favorable action.
Seconded.
We have a motion for favorable action. We have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you, Major.
Thank you.
Item 2020-289, purchase 2020 Chevrolet 3500 heavy duty with plow package. Found on page 69.
Good evening.
Go ahead, Director.
Matthew Salitro, Department of Public Works Director for the City of Warwick. We're requesting approval of bid 2020-289 for the purchase of a 2020 Chevrolet 3500 HD with plow package and dump body under section 56.6. This will be joining on bid for the Greater Boston Police Council, in which they buy all their vehicles.
Any questions from members of the committee? Councilman McAllister.
Good evening, Director.
Good evening.
And you mentioned that we were able to purchase this through the Greater Boston Police Council.
Correct.
So that's good. So that gives us a wider range because I'm sure Boston buys a little more vehicles than the city of Warwick does. So for
maybe
us
one or two, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's a good thing. It helps keep the prices down.
Correct.
So I applaud you for looking for the best way to purchase these.
Thank you.
Yes, Councilman Howe.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Good evening, Mr. Director.
Good evening.
So I remember a couple years ago, we would talk about, and with my colleagues over here, that we were always throwing money into old machinery, trying to fix old machinery, and we always had different bids coming in on repairing and replacing parts on, and one of the things that was in discussion was, maybe we ought to start investing in the future and for the services of the city, and I'm glad to see that this is moving forward, and like that, my councilman said, I want to echo what the councilman said. This is nice that it's being done through the Boston Police Council. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Director, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Any questions from members of the committee? I'm sorry, members of the council. Any questions from members of the council? Do you have any questions from members of the public? Are there any questions from members of the public? Director, is this a brand new vehicle?
Yes, it is, sir.
Okay.
2020.
I'm sorry?
2020.
And just to kind of keep everybody honest, had you did any search in pricing for a comparable vehicle?
I did, actually. You could buy a vehicle, four-wheel drive, with a plow package, you're probably looking at around $72,000 to $74,000. That's not with the dump body. That's just with a regular 8-foot utility body on it. They vary all over the place. I was even considering maybe a used one, but a used one with 22,000 miles on, I just found, was $56,000. I mean, and it didn't have the options that we needed, the fish stick, the Fisher plow on it, the dump body, the tarp. This thing's completely rigged out for what we need moving forward in the Department of Public Works. And as Councilman Howard alluded to, you know, we try to fix everything that we can. I think we're reaching a breaking point where we need to move forward, invest in some new equipment, because the cost-benefit factor is just not there on certain pieces of equipment.
Had you contacted any other Ford dealers or Chevrolet dealers to get a price on this type of vehicle with this equipment?
Yes, I had, actually. I contacted Chris Hurd Ford. Right. I mean, Hurd Chevrolet. I shied away from Ford because our fleet is mainly GMC / Chevy. I didn't want to reinvent the wheel. We've had pretty decent luck. That's not to say you could buy a bad Chevy or a GMC. So that's what we're sticking with.
And why is this a 56.6?
56.6 because the Greater Boston Police Council is not a bid. So it's an exception to bid, so we're jumping on the Greater Boston Police Council's bid. They've done all the due diligence for the city and for their municipality. So we realize that, as the councilman had pointed out, they buy more in volume. So we jumped on their bid. It's already gone through the bid process, and so for us to buy a one-off vehicle, I don't know if we would get the same volume discount that they did.
Is this a vehicle that's sitting in somebody's lot now? Are you going to be able to get this vehicle right away?
Actually, great question. So typically it would take 6 to 8 months to procure a vehicle. This vehicle right now will be delivered to us 8 weeks for the vehicle and 4 to 5 weeks roughly for Degena to put the back end of it on, the back end being, you know, the plow setup, the dump body, the tarp, everything that we need, the hydraulic systems. So it's there now.
And is this going to be replacing another vehicle or in addition to the vehicles that you have now?
Recently we've had no less than 5 to 6 vehicles go down. We've tried to take parts off one and the other. So I think in the future you're going to see more of this coming forth for the Finance Committee, only because we can only fix it so much. You know, we gave it a great try. And we'll still utilize the vehicles that we have. We're not just looking for brand new equipment just for the sake of having brand new equipment. You know, we put a good effort. My guys did a real good job trying to patch this stuff together.
I agree with that. So, Director, I wanted to get it on the record from you regarding the outreach that you had done.
Correct.
For this particular vehicle and for backing up your price and your request.
Okay.
I also went and did some research on this vehicle with all of these options. And I concur with what your findings were. It was interesting that today I found very, very similar vehicle, 29 miles, Chevrolet, for $43,000.
Mm-hmm.
But when you look at the package,
correct,
it didn't have the dump body and, you know, a few other things that, you know, were pretty expensive. So in the end, I think you've got a good deal here.
Thanks.
And I think it was important to put that out on the record.
Thanks.
For the taxpayers, that the due diligence was done on your part as well as ours, so I will be supporting this. Any other questions from members of the public? Any questions from members of the public? Hearing none, I need a motion.
Move for favorable action.
Seconded.
We have a motion for favorable. We have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you.
Thank you,
Director. Okay, moving on, need, again, an acceptance of the minutes from February 3rd.
Favorable action.
We have a motion favorable. We have a second. All in favor?
Aye. Abstain.
We have 2 yes and 1 abstain.
Still in
Excuse me, if anyone has any questions, please do not shout them out from the audience. You're more than welcome to come to the podium. This is all a recorded meeting, and it will not pick up from the audience. It's sometimes difficult to pick it up from the mics. Sir, identify yourself for the record.
Yes, Richard Langsith, Budlong Farm. I was just a little confused about the minutes. You approved the minutes at the beginning of your session. Now you're bringing the minutes up again. I thought it might be a different committee.
We are approving the minutes from the committee meeting held on February 3rd, the Finance Committee meeting held on February 3rd.
And then you, at the beginning of the meeting, there were some other minutes you approved?
That was the Finance Committee meeting as well. It's from the consent calendar.
Okay.